Welcome to a special episode of the Scaling Tech Podcast, where I'm going to continue our exploration of emerging tech communities in Latin America by taking a look at Barranquilla, Colombia. Our team at Agility Feet recently attended Tech Caribe, which brings together top talent and innovators in this Caribbean community. In this episode, I will speak with Anwar Har, the leader of the Tech Caribe conference. We'll also hear from my colleague, Andres Rincon, an engineer on our team who spoke at the conference about real-time conversations with AI. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Barranquilla, since it may not be the first city you think of for tech teams, but I hope you'll agree by the end of today's episode that it has a lot going for it. Barranquilla is one of Colombia's major cities, sitting on the Caribbean coast where the River Magdalena meets the sea. It's best known internationally for its vibrant carnival, which is second in size only to Rio's and draws huge crowds every year with parades, music, and dance. Beyond the culture, it's also an important port city, historically a key gateway for trade and immigration into Colombia. In terms of size, Barranquilla is the country's fourth largest city, smaller than Bogota, Medellin, and Cali, but still a significant urban hub with over a million people in its metro area. The economy is a mix of shipping and logistics, manufacturing, and more recently, growing activity in services and tech. It's a city that blends coastal culture with an increasingly modern business outlook, making it a really interesting place to watch in Colombia's tech scene. Now let's go into my interview with Anwar and learn more about the Tech Caribe event and the local tech community. I'm here today with Anwar Harb in Barranquilla, Colombia to talk about the Tech Caribe event and the tech community in general in this up-and-coming tech region of Colombia. So Anwar, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm really excited for this conversation.
Yeah, I'm excited to speak with you as well, and I know that our team really enjoyed being at the Tech Caribe event. But first, let's start with a little. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. Well, I'm a software engineer. I have been working on this for the last 10 years now, and it has been a really amazing journey because technology has been evolving a lot. Now with AI and the new frameworks that we have, we can build a lot of things. That's why I want to share with everybody. I think the community is the backbone of technology. Like we can learn technology in university, or we can learn in different places. But just when you have someone by your side that has been through that and can give you tips and can experiment with you, I think that's where real learning and innovation can happen.
Yeah, no, definitely, I agree. And yeah, when you think about, you know, with as rapidly as everything is changing in technology, it's, you know, it's really important, obviously, that, you know, we learn about that technology as best as we can at the university, but also throughout our career. But in addition to whatever we can learn at the university level and in our jobs, it's really crucial, this third element of tech communities. And so I really appreciate what people like you do to really put in a lot of effort to build in these communities and put together events like this. So tell us a little bit more about the Tech Caribe event that you just hosted.
Sure. Like we are, well, I'm the founder and the director of Fundación Código Abierto, that it's an organization that wants to create the Caribbean coast of Colombia like the new technical hub of the region. And I think it's something pretty amazing, or well, pretty necessary, because people here want these kind of spaces, want these kind of opportunities, but we have been told that you have to travel or you have to go to other places. But now with the software and the internet and all the connections that we have, we can work from whatever place we want. And I think that's something that it's needed in this region to empower people, our places where they can get inspired, or where they can know that these opportunities are real, where they can have a contact with businesses or with these companies that want to hire them, and that's why we create Tech Caribe Fest. So Tech Caribe Fest is this big event where we want to get this mix of developers, but also business that use technology, and also like community or tech enthusiasts, because we want to give the community or the city a place to be comfortable with the technology, but also give the developers the opportunity to be face to face with these experts, like, for example, Google experts or company experts, like Agility Fit, for example, that they can share their knowledge based on their experience. To inspire the people. So Tech Caribe Fest was this last 20th of September, and it was a great event. We had more than 1,000 people in the event, and they were divided in different scenarios, because we had like different workshops and different scenarios happening or masterclasses happening at the same time. And there were also like some universities with their stand with VR glasses or robots and things like that. So yeah, it was pretty fun. And the idea is that people from different backgrounds can share that space and create connections and network.
Fantastic. No, that's great. And, you know, when people think about finding tech talent in Colombia, they tend to think first about the major cities of Bogota and Medellin, you know, kind of most famous for tech hubs in Colombia. But there's a lot more to Colombia beyond that. And Barranquilla definitely has nicer weather warmer weather than Bogota and Medellin. But tell us a little bit more about the tech community in Barranquilla and why a company should consider Barranquilla for technical talent.
Sure. I think Barranquilla is a city that is growing, and what grows beside the city stays. So I'm pretty glad to say that technology is growing, because we are experiencing a lot of new communities being created. Like, there are people that want to learn about JavaScript or about Python or about Java or about WebRTC or about different things. And they organically get together to host these events or to host a meetup just to talk about these technologies. And that's something that I think creates the environment to become a tech hub, right? Because if the conversation it's about technology in a daily base, that will stack over until we get like this pretty nice level. So the communities by itself, they are growing, but also what we create at Fundación Código Abierto is kind of this platform to help them grow faster or help them grow in a more structured way. So that's where we help them create some material for the events, or share with them the spaces, or help them to get speakers. And I think that helps to create talent that it's worth exporting or working in different companies around the world. And we have been having a lot of success cases about that. So we're pretty happy about that. I think it's a long run. We're not like a Silicon Valley or near that. But I think there's a great, it is a good bet to bet in talent from the coast of Colombia. Yeah.
No, I think so. And it shows a lot about the strength and the size of the tech community in Colombia as a whole, that you have multiple cities that all have great talent pools. And then for Barranquilla specifically on the coast and the Caribbean coast, I think you mentioned over 1,000 people at Tech Caribe last week. That's fantastic, right? And you also mentioned a couple of a couple of different skills there. I think you said JavaScript, Java development, and of course like AI development stuff. Talk a little bit more about some of the technical skills that exist in the tech community in Barranquilla, and what people are learning and starting to use, and what are if in particular you think there are any skill sets or maybe industries that you think are strongest for the talent in Barranquilla.
Sure, I think we are like a lot of talent or a lot of developers work with JavaScript, with React, and now they're working with AI. Like AI is being the hot topic. So everyone is learning about that, like how to consume the APIs, how to make a RAG, how to make fine tuning, how to create their own or set up their own open source models. So I think that's a pretty interesting topic, because I know a lot of people here at Barranquilla that are working in really complex algorithms for video recognition or things like that. For example, a friend of mine has been working on a platform to be able to count the mosquito X or the mosquito X based on an image to be able to solve the dengue situation in some towns. And wow, that's a project that was born here at Barranquilla, and it's been developed by Barranquilla talent. It's pretty amazing about that. Also, I think there are a lot of good talent in Java and Python. The Python community and the Java community has been really active.
No, that's fantastic. I mean, and when you talk about AI and software development, I think about it as maybe like three different categories, right? You have all software developers are going to be using AI in some form as like a coding assist, right? To help them code, right? That's sort of the level that any developer these days are going to be exposed to. And then there's this level of how do you integrate AI into your applications? And that's what our engineer Andres Rincon was talking about at the Tech Caribe event. How do you build an application that talks to an AI, either by text or in his case, literally with voice talking to the AI. And then you also have this third level of AI and software, which is actually like building the models, fine tuning the models, you know, adding in RAG to your own, to an open source model, all those sorts of different things. And that's like, you know, maybe the lowest level, I'll say the most complex level of AI and development. And so when you talk about the difference between a like an AI assisted software developer versus a machine learning engineer, people who are really working directly with the models, that's kind of what you were just describing. So, you know, that's also another good sign of the depth of the quality of the technical talent in Barranquilla, that people working at all levels that I was just describing there, including people who, you know, you can find Python and data experts and machine learning talent in Barranquilla. So that's a really great sign for the quality of the talent in the community there.
I also like it. It's interesting because I don't think something that just happens here, but I feel like we have this this playful dynamic between like the traditional organizations that want to teach like how to use ChatGPT or something like that, and this new wave of developers that want to learn about, as you said, right, not just how to use a Copilot, but also how to integrate that on the web app or in their project, and then also how to fine tune a model or how to make a RAG, right? So it's funny because sometimes here in Barranquilla, we have to be pretty aware of what's the public, because usually when we talk about businesses, they want to learn how to use ChatGPT, but when we create these events for developers, they are asking for more advanced topics. They're asking for this tutorial about how to use RAG or how to use. So I think that's also something that speaks well about the dev community here, because they don't stay just at the base level, but they want more specialized content.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and you mentioned working with universities in the conference, and so talk a little bit more about how you work with local universities in Barranquilla to identify talent and to incorporate them into the Tech Caribe event.
Sure, there's also actually a pretty interesting story, because we get to collaborate with universities through events and through some workshops. For example, we create Barranquilla, that it's like a hackathon about AI, because it's a play with the name.
Spanish IA is the way you would say AI, right? Yeah, so yeah, play on the name of Barranquilla.
So yeah, it's Barranquilla, right? So for example, we have made this hackathon 2 times, like for the last 2 years, and it's a really great experience for universities. Well, we try to make it in a university, and there are a lot of students that participate on those hackathons. And then there we have workshops to learn about how to use AI and how to integrate it into their project. And it has been a really great experience because, for example, on first year we had like 150 participants that create 21 projects, and the second time we had like 200 participants that create 32 projects that are functional projects that use AI not just to create the project but as a value proposition. And then we had this incubation program where 15 of them get these classes or these follow-up to make that a real business model. And on Tech Caribe, they pitch their ideas and their products. So I think that's something really amazing, because they don't just stay at, I'm gonna make this project for this weekend, but we also try to push them to create something that can become a real thing. And the universities has been like really interested in that kind of dynamic, that actually on the next Saturday, we will have a hackathon just for students. So
nice.
I think that's something that, because universities sometimes they need that help with the newer topics.
So
that's where we help.
That's great. Yeah, not only providing help with those newer topics, but also that kind of industry experience of how do you really do this in production? How do you take this and scale it or use it with real customers, right? Because in AI, you know, in general right now, there's a lot more prototypes and it's pretty easy to create a prototypes than there are true production applications, you know, working at scale, right? So those can be two very different topics. And so that's a great exposure for those students to have, to be able to get to work, you know, a little more with people in industry and to be able to take that project out of the classroom and be encouraged to do that. So that's fantastic. Can you talk a little bit more about what sort of projects were demonstrated at the conference?
Sure. There were like really interesting ones. Some of them, like what I love about technology is that it is transversal. So all of the industries can be helped by technology. So for example, there was like this platform for collectors where they could like take a photo of an item and they will get all of the information and the status and all of the things for that item, so they can have their collection organized with just one photo, and the AI will get all the information. But there were also like things, like for example, the idea was that you could tell them any topic for education, and it will create a presentation based on the topic, but also like what kind of academic level do you want the presentation to be? Like for example, for kids, for university, for I don't know. But it was interesting, but because it really created this PowerPoint presentation with all of the topics and all of the information. There's also like this project that wanted to help to create cotizations.
Yeah, like a quote.
Yeah, like so if you are working on any industry, you could like add some values or some the description of the work that you will be doing, and based on some parameters and the AI will have this the code. And it was interesting because the interesting thing is that those are projects that are already being used by the people. Maybe they don't have yet like all of these users. Maybe they don't have 1 million users yet, but they already have like 500 or things like that.
Yeah, there's a very valid business purpose for that right now that, you know, that will
exactly
help.
And a lot of them, or almost all of them, use AI. So what we do was that we partner the entrepreneurs or the people with the idea with developers that were learning or were wanting to have practical experience so they can power up the ideas. And that's the kind of synergies that I think will give the developers or the Barranquilla ecosystem the opportunity to grow and have real experience.
Fantastic. I love it. So what do you see as the future of the Barranquilla tech community? What do you think it's going to look like in a couple of years? You're already working with some big names like Google, and then, you know, our company is certainly interested in the work that you're doing there. What do you see as kind of the growth of the tech community in Barranquilla?
Sure, I think this will be continue growing. The communities have this really big push. I think we're trying to create this synergy between private companies, but also government. For example, we were able to get some scholarships that the government was funding. So I think the tech community here in Barranquilla will continue to grow, will become more specialized. But I think that what's needed is that companies start to look into Barranquilla like a valid option to hire people, but also like, for example, to open an office or something like that. Because what is happening right now is that people get to a certain skill level, and sometimes they get this remote job and everything, it's okay. But most of the time, I think people tend to move because they maybe find the opportunity, but it's it has to be in the office, and the office is in another place.
Right.
So I think that's something important for the ecosystem to grow.
Yeah.
But I think that's something that is starting to happen, and we'll have to create the Caribbean coast as a tech hub of Colombia.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love it. I think it is a growing trend in software development companies and teams that they do want to have more of a, not just work with remote workers from a community like Barranquilla, but also have a more formal presence in the country that they're working and, you know, offices there. And, you know, one thing I know from our own work doing that, establishing those types of teams and establishing technical subsidiaries in Colombia for ourselves and for our clients is that, you know, you could, even if you want to be headquartered in Bogota or Medellin, for example, you can still have a physical location and still hire people in Barranquilla and, you know, have those kind of remote offices within the country too. And there's easy travel within Colombia and out from Barranquilla and a beautiful place to visit. So yeah, a lot of attractive things going there. So that's great, but I'd like to hear a little bit more about kind of your work individually or through the Fundación Código Abierto and kind of talk a little bit more about what you do with companies and helping them in Barranquilla.
Sure. We have three main line of works, and those are community. So that's where we support community and try to give them more spaces, but we also have education. So we have boot camps, we have classes, we have partnership with universities to teach about software and AI. So it's really important. And we also have this other line of work that it's job opportunities. So what we do is that we connect people or developers with companies, but also we give advice to people that want to create their own project and how to build it or with the technical skills that they will need and try to connect them with developers. Because I think that technology is a great industry, but sometimes if you don't have an opportunity or until you get that opportunity, it's difficult to stay focused. Because, for example, there are a lot of students or people that maybe had another career and now are making this change to technology. And we have been having a lot of success cases about that, for example, someone that was a lawyer, but now it's a developer, and they are like this really amazing developer working for a company in US. But until that first opportunity or that career starts.
Yeah,
there's like this valley where people tend to be like demotivated. So
right.
We try to make that space the shorter that we can. And I think we have been doing a good job. So we are on that track.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Anwar. For our viewers, where can they go to learn more about Tech Caribe or the Fundación Código Abierto?
Sure, you can follow us on Instagram on Código Abierto scalingtech.tech, or you can also look us in the web, like códigoabierto.tech. Yeah, and I think that's where we are sharing everything. Also, you can follow me on my personal Instagram, like Anwar Harp. And yeah, let's work together to make the Caribbean coast a new tech hub of Colombia.
Let's do it. That sounds great. And we'll be sure to include those links in the show notes for this episode too, at scalingtechpod.com. Thank you, Anwar, for joining me and sharing your insights about Barranquilla. And again, thank you for everything you're doing to grow the tech community there. It was a pleasure speaking.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It was really great.
See you soon in Barranquilla.
See you soon.
As I mentioned earlier, my company, Agility Feet, was at the Tech Caribe event. We have a deep interest in the tech community in Colombia because we help our clients to build tech teams in Colombia and throughout Latin America. Colombia is also one of the locations where we offer our build, operate, transfer model, which allows us to set up complete tech subsidiaries for our clients and then eventually hand that subsidiary over to our clients when they're ready to run it themselves. This is great for companies that want to go beyond traditional staff augmentation models, in which essentially you rent a team, and gives our clients a path to full ownership of their tech delivery center in Latin America. So we have a vested interest at Agility Feet in finding the most talented tech communities in Colombia and in Latin America. And Barranquilla is definitely a good one to watch, as Anwar discussed with us. So if you're interested in learning more about those services, visit us at agilityfeet.com. Now, one of our Colombian engineers, Andres Rincon, was also a speaker at the event, where he spoke about real-time conversations with AI. This is an interesting topic because it also brings together our team's tech expertise in real-time communications applications and integration of LLM models. Our WebRTC Ventures group specializes in building these types of video and voice AI applications for a wide variety of use cases. And Andres talked about some of our work in that area for our clients. So he'll share a little bit more about that in the next clip, and you'll see a bit of his presentation as well, where he talks about building an application that allows users to speak directly with an AI avatar using voice technologies. And he's also experimenting in that with Gen AI created avatars to represent the LLM that he's speaking with.
The presentation was about an avatar connected to a voice agent. A couple of important challenges that I explained in the presentation. First one, how to reduce the low latency. To achieve that, this is the architecture. Of course, it's a general view of the architecture. But first, we are using WebRTC. We are getting camera and audio from the browser. Then we have a WebSocket with our backend application. We are sending the streams. As you speak, we send the streams to the backend. Then, in the backend, we are using a live Gemini agent. What is the beauty of live Gemini agent? That as you get the audio stream, you can send the same audio stream to Gemini. And then, we use Google BT, B-Y-D-I, BT. And then with that, what you get is the response as well as a stream. And not just that, but that model takes care of identifying silences and then replying to you. Once we get that, we get the streams of the text. But if you want, you can get as well audio. So we are getting text and then we are getting that text and we send that to HeyGen. HeyGen is a third software that we use to get the avatar. And as well, we are using an streamable API. So we send those texts and then we get the frames, the video frames with the avatar, and we start displaying those. That's a general view of the architecture that I explained in that presentation. think.
So this is a fascinating area of software development and one we're doing more in. And if you'd like to learn more about our work in building LLM-driven applications and video or voice communication applications that are AI-enabled, check us out at webrtc.ventures. That concludes this episode of the Scaling Tech Podcast. Thanks for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed learning more about the growing tech community of Barranquilla, Colombia. Be sure to follow the Scaling Tech Podcast and Agility Feed on LinkedIn and YouTube to learn more, as well as on the podcast platform of your choice. And stay tuned for more insights from engineering leaders and tech team experts in future episodes of the Scaling Tech Podcast.